was trying to get him up the steps, and he started getting scared. He was trying to get off the couch. I wouldn't let him. I was going to carry his 85-pound ass up the steps.
We have a very special boxing guest tonight. We're trying to have it be a Rocky show. We're trying to get Rocky Juarez.
Nice.
Same go ahead, but he's training tonight, so shout out to Rocky Juarez in the gym. Getting ready for the guest that we have.
Let me ask you something. Are you trying to get like an Olympic role going for me?
I'm getting a lot more offers lately, so.
Hey, that's cool. Now, I got one for you. Just a chance meeting last night. I got an email from a friend of mine, Eddie, today. I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook page. Did you see who my friend was waiting on the tape for last night?
Yes, I did see that post. I forget who it was, though.
Who was it?
Roy Jones, Jr.
Yeah. Now, if I pull some strings to get him on the show, would you be cool with that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I don't want to try to get anybody that you know would offend you.
We did a revolution around the boxing carousel once today's done. So we're going to go back to MMA next week, I think. So one guest lined up. He's like MMA expert guy. And then we're trying to get a fighter who will be named later, like a player to be named later at the baseball track.
Right.
But then the week after that, we're going to go right back to boxing. I'm going to try to alternate here.
Where do you want to go? You know I'm always around.
Hell yeah. So we had some interesting developments over the weekend. this is something I had in the works last week, but I just I'm wondering if you mentioned it or didn't hear about it until recently, but Oscar De La Hoya has come out and said just what I pretty much predicted, that the cocaine abuse and those pictures of him with the hooker there were real.
Yeah. You know what? And I guess he's not. I guess he's not the golden boy anymore. You know, but I mean, that's also proof that you know. I mean, you could have almost everything, and everything in the world, and that's still, you know, you're just a human being. You have your faults. I mean, he said he was drinking as early as 9 years old.
Yeah, I think I beat him.
Yeah. But then I was like, you know, the stuff with the cocaine, and that was a shock, you know. Because, like you said, he always came off as such a, you know, classy businessman, even when he was fighting, and so well-spoken. He was always like an ambassador. And but then again, that was the same thing that was the pratfall of Sugar Ray Leonard.
And there's going to be a big HBO show coming up on Mike Tyson. Listen to the people involved. Spike Lee. We got Attack the Block star John Boyega. He's going to play Tyson. I don't know if you ever heard of him. But he's the main character. Not really too many people you heard of. But the people from the Entourage show.
Right.
Actually based on Mark Wahlberg's life. And Johnny Drama is obviously his brother, Donnie Wahlberg.
Right. Wasn't he one of the new kids on the block?
Yes. He acts now. He acts every now and then. He's bit parts. So he's still out there. So it's him to a team. It's just changed the name. So now they're going to do one on Tyson. And Tyson's on board. He's consulting. And they get his wife even is on the payroll. And sounds like a pretty good deal in HBO. It's going to be like Tyson Entourage. Did you watch the Mayweather 24/7?
I did. I actually watched it shortly before my basement flooded. Very interesting. Very interesting. Mayweathers are still Mayweathers. That one part was a little bit uncomfortable to watch. You know, Floyd really ripped his father. I kind of missed the one segment on what prompted it all. But, I mean, Floyd Jr. was, you know, that's why De La Hoya left you. He was never as good after you took over, which is something that I always said, and that John Scully actually agreed. Well, he and I agreed with when we were talking on the one show a few months ago that after you know, Oscar went with Floyd Sr. as his trainer, he definitely took a step down, especially his fights against Felix Durham. He got his ass kicked, and he just wasn't impressive in a number of fights after that, even a lot of his victories. I just wasn't impressive. But like I said, I don't know what prompted the meltdown between, you know, Daddy and Junior, but it got nasty. And then Roger was sitting there, and we all know how much I dislike Roger. I think he's the one that I dislike most out of the group. And he's sitting there, just, he just had that smirk on his face, you know. What they ought to do is put it on pay-per-view is Roger versus Floyd Sr. That would sell out. I mean, and that 24/7 would be entertaining.
Floyd Sr. would die in the ring. He's about to die as it is.
I mean, and look at it this way, man. You know, go back to the 24/7, and you look at the differences between the Ortiz camp and the Mayweather camp. Now, I think the Mayweather camp likes to be, you know, like a zoo and all this publicity and all this hype and the entourage there and a lot of, you know, just extracurricular activity and people watching and trash talk and all that. But then you go back to the Ortiz camp and it's, you know, you got these blue collar, hardworking guys and, you know, very, you know, kind of laid back and just the polar opposite. And I think what HBO is trying to do is, I know Floyd likes to play the bad guy, Floyd Jr. He always revels at being the villain. And I think they're really trying to hype it up because a lot of people right now outside of the boxing circle, they know the name Floyd Mayweather, okay? But a lot of people don't know Victor Ortiz. I mean, I know him because I'm a boxing fan. But, you know, average Joe down the street is going to say, who's this guy Floyd Mayweather fighting? This guy Victor Ortiz, never heard of him. So they're trying to get this 24-7 and really paint Mayweather up to be the bad guy again, which isn't hard, especially considering, you know, the family members. And then they're going to try to boost the salesmanship, the sales of the fight by getting people, you know, to pay to watch Mayweather get knocked on his ass. Whether that happens or not is a different story, but people will pay just to hopefully see it happen.
I don't know, it's going to be a lot on the line there. I'm going to find out on Tuesday how good a shape Mayweather is.
You're going to what?
I'm going to find out on Tuesday how good a shape Mayweather is in.
How?
Live.
You going to an open workout?
Yes, I am.
No shit.
Open invitation. Next
nice.
Month.
That's pretty badass, dude.
And then late September, we got a guy who's just coming off an injury. Who's a promising Olympic boxer, potentially someday, or amateur. And he's actually trained by Floyd Sr. So we got Floyd Sr. on the show. How'd that be?
Then that'd be, that'd be fantastic.
All that by accident. So I'm going to get to see him work out live in person, and I'm going to have him sign some autographs. Right next to Muhammad Ali in the boxing gloves. Yeah, but we'll see. He's coming off all the ring runs.
Ortiz did have something very prominent to say. It was in the latest Ring magazine that I got. And you know what he came out and said? And he made it a very good point. Any fighter with a lot of pride, you know, would say this. I mean, you get a fighter that, you know, is just going in there to get beat, you know, they're not going to say something along these lines. But Ortiz said, you know, I'm tired of people asking if Mayweather's fighting Pacquiao next. He's fighting Victor, and he goes, he's fighting me next. He's like, don't be looking forward to Pacquiao. You got to fight me. And I said, Ring Magazine has given Ortiz a hell of a shot. I'm telling you, the one thing that's going to kill Ortiz, he is a sucker for a counter or straight right hand. I mean, Marcos Maidana dropped him first round with it. Berto had him down with it, had him hurt pretty bad. I don't know how good of a chin Ortiz has, but he's a big guy, he's a strong guy, he's a quick hand, he's a southpaw. You never know. I mean, like I said, what Ring Magazine says is he's got to, you know, be himself, and he's got to, you know, when he gets the opportunity, he's got to make it take advantage of it.
Now we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm really interested to see what kind of shape he's in.
You know what else they said, and this is, you know, pretty interesting. Of all the guys that Mayweather fought, 41-0, who is the guy that legitimately came closest to beating him? And people say, well, De La Hoya. Some people thought De La Hoya won that fight. They said De La Hoya had the fight won. He gave it away. He gave three of those last four front rounds away when the fight was dead even. But what about Mosley? Mosley rocked him. Yeah, Mosley had 37 out of 36 minutes that he won. You know? The guy that came closest to beating Floyd was back in his lightweight days, and that was, Castillo, Luis Castillo. And at that time, Castillo got up in his face, put pressure on him, banged the body, made Floyd very uncomfortable in there. And it didn't help that, Floyd hurt both of his hands in that fight. I'll give him that. But a lot of people think that record should be 40-1, not 41-0. Now, Mayweather was much better in the rematch, I'll give you that. But a lot of people still say that Castillo won that first fight.
I think Floyd will be all right. I don't know, I haven't seen enough of Ortiz to impress me yet. Floyd.
Have to see if we got some YouTube clips of him.
I don't know. It's going to be a hell of an upset if he beats him up. And if Floyd really needs the money, he's going to need a quick turnaround fight, too. Before he gets caught up in all that legal shit, that stuff tipped and tipped.
What? You always keep saying, this could be his last fight, this could be his last fight. It legitimately could be, any fight could be, any fight for any fighter could be their last. But at the same time, not only is he getting up there in age, fighters like that generally don't improve with age. A guy like George Foreman, he learned how to calm down, he learned how to relax, he learned how to enjoy himself, he learned how to, use his physical strength at an older, at a heavier weight. Guys like Mike Tyson, who relied on speed and, just devastating agility, did not improve. Guys like Roy Jones did not improve. You rarely see it. Even guys like Bernard Hopkins, still going at 46 years old, is still, I don't think, the fighter he was in his prime. Bernard does a lot of great things, but he's not as dominant, not as exciting.
Well, we'll see. You're still the champion.
So, every fight Floyd fights, he is getting older. And like I said, when we were talking to Al Bernstein back, I guess it was like last November, and we said every day that pendulum swings, it swings more and more in Pacquiao's favor. Pacquiao learns something new every day. Pacquiao gets a little bit better every day. Mayweather gets a little bit older every day. Hey, we just got a surprise visitor.
Deeper in debt. That's what he gets. Another day older and deeper in debt. What size is that from, Tony?
What?
Another day older and deeper in debt.
Another day older and deeper in debt. What song is that from?
Yeah.
Something by Celine Dion?
16 Tons. Another day older and deeper in debt.
Is that by Celine Dion?
Yeah. No. It's like an old timey song. Before we were born. Look it up sometime. It's about coal mine.
Well, Rick, before we go on any further, I'd like to welcome a special guest onto the show. Just stop by to visit me. See if I can get him to speak. Come on. Vinny, come to visit us. All right, here's your towel, Vinny.
Vinny's got a tip for you, folks out there. Don't piss in a hurricane.
After dinner every night, Vinny has a towel and he likes to fight with it. And usually he'll only fight with my father. My father, last week got called away. He got called out of retirement because of the storm. And so he's been away since Saturday working. So now I've become Vinny's designated sparring partner every night.
Yeah, I think dog was pretty vicious to certain people. And my dad would just throw him a big meaty bone in the back hall every night. And if you had to go down to the basement, you had to go by him. There's no way. No two ways about it,
Well, so, I'll tell you, man, what ended up saving...
And then, you do the thing like they do in the drills at the police department. The guy's got a big furry arm and just let the dog bite it.
I'll tell you what saved our ass the other night. With the storm on the East Coast, I know Massachusetts got hit pretty hard. My dad might be going up there next after he finishes in, the PA-Jersey border. Last week, these storms are hitting, and, it's obviously dark out. It's night, it's nighttime, and they're calling, all these tornado warnings. And I was like, hey, I'm right here, Had a good laugh about it. Hey, I'm right here. I'll kick all your asses. But then they're like, they're being serious. Like, they're doing, round-the-clock coverage. they're doing round-the-clock coverage. So I was like, well, shit. I'm like, that's what I'm on. Like, Mom, I'm like, let's get upstairs. I said, just in case anyone out on the second floor, and if something does happen, because it's dark and you can't really see what's going on. I put the laptop downstairs, and, I'm chilling. And, messing around, and, she was sitting on the couch of the recliner. I shut the main light off, put a lamp on, and then he's down there, and there's some bubble. And next thing I know, it was coming up. It's already kind of seeping through the floor, and I'm like, oh, shit, man. I'm trying to get the pump on, I'm going to lose my TV. I'm going to lose my stereo. I'm like, I got to save some of my box memorabilia. I cannot lose that. Say that, then someone brings in scared. I'm like, you got to come up the steps, Vinny. He was wanting to get on the couch just away from the water. And I'm like, I'm going to carry this 85-pound dog up the steps. I said, I'll break my neck. I don't care. Thankfully, I got all the boxing memorabilia, and then the pump was able to take over and, prevent, really any losses. The TV wasn't working, but has since been working, so I'm going to try it again when we get off the air tonight. But I said, there was some stuff in there I couldn't use. So, yeah, definitely was a...
It was weird the way the storm was, looking to be a dud. It just ripped right up the coast. The flooding became the worst. It was like the Mississippi situation on the East Coast. But it was the places that never expected it that got it the worst. Freaking Vermont. Ruined. Like, I saw these covered bridges down the river of cars. And there was one covered bridge that had been there since the 1800s. And I've been over covered bridges in Vermont as far as I went to school. Like, I've been to all those towns. And I was like, oh, shit, that sucks.
Yeah.
Water is
a joke,
All that snow melts made the water.
Holly's not too happy about that.
went to Ross Pearson and Edson Barboza, which was a split decision, went all three rounds. Obviously, it's just, I didn't really like that pick as fight of the night. I could have picked another one, but hey, that's why I make so much money, so you can get multiple fights of the night. Dana White. Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. The upset of the night. Why can't we get an upset of the night bonus there, Mr. White? Nogueira beat Brendan Schaub. Kidding, it's strong together a bunch of wins since he was on the Ultimate Fighter. But Nogueira has been off for a while. He's obviously tuned up and healthy. Knocked him out in the first round with punches. Vicious combinations. He'd be proud of his boxer. He liked that thing. Then there's another first round knockout, 420 in the first round. Luis Kane got knocked out by Stanislav Netkov, pretty much the equivalent to the UFC. Gianni Tavares beat Spencer Fisher by knockout. Rusinar Paul Harris beat Dan Miller by decision. Spent a bad few weeks for the Miller brothers. They all post the last fights.
Tough fights.
Rusinar actually hopped the cage a little early. He jumped the gun, so to speak. And if you watch the tape, like I did, you hear somebody else stop. So what does Rusinar do? He gets off of Miller, backs off. He's been punched up his head on the ground. He backs off. He jumps on top of the cage, and he's sitting on top of the cage, and the referee comes over to him, and he says, I want to come back down here. And stop the fight. And Paul Harris comes back down and he still gets the unanimous decision to win the fight. But you watch the tape and somebody else stop. You know, whether you could have a verbal submission, get overlooked by the ref, I don't know. But Dan Miller got a second chance. He battled to the rest of the fight. And that was that. Another Brazilian, Paulo Thiago, beat David Mitchell by decision. Unanimous. Rafael Hasenkeo beat Johnny Eduardo by unanimous decision. Eric Silva beat Luis Ramos by TKO. And we had another couple of decisions. Julio Contra beat Felipe Arantes and Steve Chibuin beat Ian Lowe. And not too much coming up this weekend. The next Strike Force event is on the 10th. And then the next UFC event is on the 17th. But we'll talk about those when we get a little closer to them. Interesting little soap opera developed in between Rampage Jackson and John Jones. Rampage is claiming that there's some spies in his camp that John Bone Jones put in there. Which is kind of funny here because Joe Silva, who's the matchmaker for the UFC, actually called Jackson's manager about a hand injury that Jackson said he faked to see if the rumors were true that Jones was spying on him. And Joe Silva told Jackson that it was John Jones' manager told him he busted his hand. So Joe Silva obviously has to call on and check in, you know? So now they were talking back and forth on Twitter. You know, when it gets on Twitter, it gets ugly. Do it. Funny stuff. Last week, the American and Canadian pediatric societies, I guess, are banding together to say kids shouldn't box. Sis, you seen this shit, Tony? Figured you'd be pissed about this. boxing concussions. Remember when the British boxing or people or whatever, somebody over in Britain decided to, like, go ballistic on boxing?
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, now we get Canadian doctors and American doctors conspiring against boxing. What are you going to do about it?
I remember even years ago reading an article from a doctor that wrote a long article about, you know, why boxing should be banned and this and that and this and that, and it's like, are the dangers real? Yes. If you're accepting the dangers, then, you know, it's your choice. I accepted the dangers for a number of years. And if I decide to, you know, to do it again, I'm an adult, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. I don't think I suffered any. No, I can understand waiting until kids get to their teens to actually start doing combat, you know. Maybe once, twice a year, big events. Before then, but you know, you ought to be a regular amateur boxer until you're in your teens. I think the main reason is because your cells are still dividing. You know, that's how you grow your cells, just keep dividing and dividing and dividing until, you know, they're fully grown. And they're still developing up until, like, you're 18 or 19, I think. So you know, it determines your brain power. And we talked about football season's coming up, obviously. So we talked about the helmet issue and the hints. And I think it was last Monday Night Football. Of course, they had these guys in there who had the special new helmets. So they got to make a better helmet. These things have, like, shocks on the face cover. And they're, like, really lightweight material. And there was a game. Preseason game, I think it was the Broncos winning. Guy got hit on the sideline. It was a brutal call, you know, because the guy hit him with his shoulder, you know, and it was just right place, right time. Guy got knocked out on the sidelines. So, gave him a penalty. But it was just his shoulder. And then there was another play where a guy got grabbed around the waist and thrown down to the ground. He didn't get a penalty. But that guy was, like, on the field, taken out on the stretcher.
You know, and it just kept from knocking his head against the turf. So it's like, whether he's been there to crack down, stuff's going to happen either way. They're fine, happy. Let's make better helmets.
Well, you know, I mean, they can make helmets, like, great, and, you know, they can do all the safety precautions they want, but the fact of the matter, in the end, is concussions come mostly from the bone or the brain hitting the inside of the skull. A boxer gets a concussion because when he gets hit and his head jars, it jars the brain, which slams against the side of the skull. You could have, a cloud around your head. You get hit hard enough, you get that whiplash motion, your brain's going to slam up against your the inside of your skull, and you're going to get a concussion. That's why a lot of times you see football players with neck rolls to avoid the whiplash. I had another point I was going to make, but then I forgot.
They say that no amateur boxers wear safety gear. There's no evidence to show
I've read a lot of articles about amateur boxing and headgear and all that. The biggest advantage, to be honest, of headgear is it's more of a protection for your face than anything. Because the way a headgear shape, and obviously you've worn it. I've been wearing headgear for 17 years now. The way you have it is, you know, obviously it fits the forehead part, which comes right down to over your eyebrows, that prevents a lot of cuts along the eyebrows. Very rarely will you see a cut eyebrow, even during a clash of heads in an amateur boxing match, and also very rarely in sparring sessions. They also have cheek protectors, which prevent damage to be done, or I should say, as much damage to potentially be done to the nose, the orbital socket, the cheekbones. But along the sides with the whiplash that we were talking about, now even with head gear, you're going to get that same effect. Come back. He wouldn't want a whole week of training camp now.
Golden Boy.
Hey, Monica.
Yes?
This is Rebel Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I've been calling Vicente for like the last 20 minutes, and he has not been responding. I'm still trying to reach him. How long are you on air?
Until 10:00 Eastern.
Okay. I'm sure I'll hear from him before then. Can I call you back as soon as he gets back to me?
Sure.
Okay. And just call that same number I just called? Okay, I'm so sorry. I don't know if he got, like, stuck in the gym or what, but I'm tracking him down.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Bye. Hey,
much?
Is it to get Craig?
To call in or just to listen?
He's in the gym.
Okay.
He's gymming it up.
Well, if you were going to listen, you'd have to get techniquesunlimited.com. And then once you go on the website on the main screen, you would scroll back and you'd see a picture of us. There should be a number on, not my number, there should be a number on there that'll tell you how to call in. So then you just call in. They just tried to get him on. He's got to be fighting Rocky Juarez. Oh, cool. What's his name again? Yeah, I remember you told me. Okay, yeah, that's cool. I'm working on getting us a guest, Rich.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we got Vicente Escobedo and Zimbo.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Woodland, California. 10 days committed. 23-3. 14 knockouts. Last win was against Turf Strada back in March.
I remember used to work with John.
38-13. One draw.
Oh, yeah, I
heard you. That was a unanimous decision, 10-round fight. And now before that, he had a tough unanimous decision.
Yeah, lost some number to grab some
down to the tail. He's actually towards the rock here.
Okay.
So he's going to be out for a while, but Guerrero was 27-1-1 when he faced him back
Continental Elite Week title.
Right.
And then before that, he was coming off a very impressive one against a guy with a lot of experience, Carlos Urias. He had a 43-23 record going into the fight in Mexico. And Carlos got knocked out third round. Fucking could see this before that. Another tough decision, split decision now for the interim WBO lightweight title out here in Vegas. That was back in 2009. Michael McCease was 25-2 at the time. And he had a really impressive fight against Kevin Kelly. He was 60 wins, 9 losses, and 2 draws. This is the record. When Escobedo knocked him out in the second round of the TKO. So he down twice in the second round.
Okay.
He has a very impressive record.
Alright.
I hear that they have too many losses of guys on here.
What? Something wrong, get it. Mm-hmm.
You have the guys from the bus stop.
Let me get tomorrow. Let me get that from here. Alright, talk to you later. Alright,
sorry about that. I was trying to line up a guest for the future. Is he on yet, or?
No.
Okay. Well, listen to this. I said the guest will be on me up will be for the future. My dad's working with a guy, and I can't remember the guy's name right now, but his cousin is an MMA fighter that I've heard of. The guy my dad's working with, his cousin, is a professional MMA fighter that I've heard of.
Oh.
So you know he's got to be big time.
Yeah. Did I say he's saying MMA all terribly?
Yeah, it's one that I've heard of. So you know it doesn't happen very often.
Japan is invading your alma mater. What do you do about that?
Telling you, man, it was funny. I mean, I can't believe that. When I first saw the name, you're not going to forget a guy by the name of Biff. You're not going to forget it. No way, no how. And I was like, where do I know? And then it was like Penn State wrestler. I'm like, I saw him wrestle. One of the only dual meets I ever went to, because when Lock Haven had a lot of the dual meets, was coinciding with the same time the Lock Haven boxing team was always on the road traveling. Well, my sophomore year, it was like I had one weekend out of like 5 off, and it happened to be that weekend that they were having the dual meet in Lock Haven versus Penn State. I'm like, all my friends were going to go. I'm like, yeah, I'll go with you guys. So Terry Collot, who went to the Olympics, should have won the gold medal back in 2000, he's wrestling. He's like a big star for the Lock Haven team. And he's fighting this guy, Biff, whatever his name is. And he's kicking the crap out of him. Wrestling obviously better than I do. He was taking him down. And then Carrie would just like get up and let him up. And I was like, oh, okay, what are you doing that for, And they're like, well, that way he can take him back down again. I'm like, why is he doing that? So he can score more points. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, this guy must not be very good then, because that guy's highly ranked. Carrie's just unbelievable. And it ended up being a major decision. Carrie was having pinned in like the third period, but he didn't get him.
Yeah, Yanofsky's a silent Skype. Should we call him? Do we want to get out talked? Hello, my own minute. Don't tell us about Sunday. That's the entire family in 2 minutes. Anyway, waiting for him. Go check the boxing records. See what we got coming up this weekend for boxing, because it's kind of a slow weekend.
Yeah, it's Labor Day weekend. I actually get a 3-day weekend, which is great. I've worked 12-hour days pretty much the last 2 days. I've been in a bad mood.
Yeah, are you excited about Michael Vick getting locked up for good? So, pay his bankruptcy.
Yeah, he got payday. He got a very nice payday. I mean, maybe because anybody that I dress up as for Halloween gets a good payday.
Yeah.
How's it been talking too much?
The Lions ripped up on the Patriots this week. Did you see that?
What?
The Lions killed the Patriots this week.
I heard that. They were like 34-10.
They ripped them up. Threw Brady down on his
feet. The Lions are going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, the Lions are comeback kids. You know, they're like the Karate Kid team this year.
Yeah.
They go all the way. And speaking of Biff, it's going to be like the fight with the nerd and Biff in Back to the Future.
Right, before I forget, I saw in the email some more sad news out of the boxing world. Brett Lally, I don't know if you remember him, junior middleweight contender back in the late 80s, early 90s, passed away. Did not say from what. I remember Brett, you know, back in like right around 89 to 91 when I was, you know, really following the boxing game and watching every fight on, you know, USA that I could. I remember, you know, his, you know, a couple fights, getting into the contender status, and then his one-round stoppage loss to terrible Terry Norris back, which I believe was around 1992. And he was also the second comeback fight for Vinny Paz after Paz came back from the broken neck. And I'll never forget that. It was on USA's Tuesday Night Fights. And, of course, you know, Paz was always, you know, getting into a lot of trash talk and a lot of scuffling, you know, before the fight and during the fight. And I remember he was jacking off with, you know, mouthing off and arguing with Brett Lally's brother. And after one round, Paz walked back to Lally's corner and he squirted him with a water bottle. And I know Vinny Paz won that sixth round. But, you know, it's sad, you know, anytime a guy, you know, passes away too young, always, tragic.
Yeah, there's a martial arts coach that's passed away in his sleep. Holy shit. Whoa. That sucks. Anyway. We got some holding pattern here for Vicente Escobedo. But a little bit of a missing in action warrior situation. He's not coming out of training. Not ready to talk about it just yet, but hopefully he'll call in. He'll get to him. Figure it out. Run the lines, we'll just keep talking about boxing. Got a big fight in San Luis Potosi, Mexico, between Marco Antonio Rubio and Muhammad Akram. 13-3 in knockouts. Rubio is 51-5 with one draw, 44 knockouts. That's the main event, 12 rounds. So you get a 10 round, the light middleweight fight between Michael Marsalis, 30-4, 25 knockouts, fighting Julio Cesar Garcia. 43-4 with 36 knockouts. Light middleweight. And then we have a super featherweight 10 rounder between Alejandro Sanabria, 27-1-1 with 21 knockouts, fighting Alejandro Barrera, 21-7 with 14 knockouts. And then we have four TBA brothers to a battle on the undercard. You ever fight TBA, Tony?
Well, I've been playing TBA actually all the time. I would go there and shit. I had opponents match up three times before I actually got in the ring. Hey, and TBA can be badasses, you know. I don't even remember this past weekend. No, I did not. Obviously the Friday night fights at the last week of the show was last week with Hank Lundy on there. And then so the season's over for that, you know, they're gonna spend time now with college football and hockey, basketball, college basketball, they're all starting, so we're not gonna have any Friday night fights until January. And there was nothing on the premium channels really, so unfortunately I did not get to catch any pugilistic action over the weekend.
Yeah, HBO.
Well, except of course for the Mayweather Ortiz 24/7.
Well, they're having some fights this Saturday at the Beau Rivage Resort and Casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, which I believe is the Friday night fight I did before. Luna Bella fights on HBO. And if you happen to be in Slovenia, you can watch on Slovenia TV. We have a pretty interesting main event here. 12 rounds. Jan Levesque, 31-1 with 18 knockouts, fighting Andre Berto, 27-1 with 21 knockouts for the IBF welterweight title. Believe it or not. And 12-rounder super middleweight co-main event, Thomas Oosthuizen, who's 15-0 with 11 knockouts, is facing Aaron Pryor Jr., 16-3 with 11 knockouts. If that wasn't enough, we got pretty interesting featherweight and multiweight fights here. First, a featherweight 10-rounder, Gary Rosner, 17-0, 10 knockouts, fighting Danilo Miranda, 32-3. There you go. Then we got Randall Bailey coming back, 41-7 with 36 knockouts, fighting Yoyi Estrella. 10-5 with 7 knockouts, 2 drops. And finally against a featherweight knee grounder, Orlando Galvão, 13-0, 10 knockouts, fighting Anthony Napungi, 14-10, 7 knockouts. So if you happen to be in Biloxi, Mississippi, Tony, go see that. All expense paid trip. Where is Vicente? Vicente may have forsaken us, Tony. He is working on his excellence. Representing the United States, though, at the 2000 Olympic Summer Games. Qualified for the Olympic Games by ending up in first place at the first AIBA American 2004 Olympic qualifying tournament in Tijuana, Mexico. So, there you have it. Please, character. If we get him on the phone, be a good interview. But if we don't get him, it's like Golden Boy there. Oh, it's...
Yeah.
You hear that? Yeah. Vicente, you have forsaken us. Pretty much does it for the boxing fight that I'll come up until the next week. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I'll talk about pretty much anything, you know, man. I mean, I'll talk about professional, I'll talk about amateur, you know, the NFL, the Major League Baseball. King of Norway. I saw the dog eating an ice cream cone tonight. But I'll tell you the one thing that I am a little bit upset about. Actually, I was really pissed off at work the last few days just because I've been putting in so many extra hours. It's great because I get paid for it. But on the other hand, not so great because, you know, Wednesday night would have been one of my nights with my boxing students. Both of them are doing very well. But with the flooding last week, those jigsaw mats that I have on the floor, they were starting to float a little bit. The water was raising them up, and now I'm trying to run through and get appliances unplugged and, you know, get the pump on. And these mats, which are suddenly floating now, as I'm stepping on them, they're getting pulled apart from each other. They were like surfboards almost. I mean, I fell twice in this disgusting, grimy rainwater. And, you know, I banged my knee up a little bit. I didn't enjoy it. And, you know, so I told the guys that my juice is going to be out of operation for at least a week or two. But at least, you know, these guys, they're not going to lose it. You know, it could have been a lot worse. So, but I did tell the guys last week when, you know, I was talking to them, I said, you know, the one kid, they're both around like 17, 18 years old. And I said, you know what, you know, if you guys ever really want to try your hand at competition, mainly even if it's just to say you did it, I said, I have a great idea. I said, I have a lot of pull at Lock Haven. I would like to take you guys up there one day to train with the team. I think that would be beneficial to that. And I think along the same lines, this show is sometime in February. and I said I would love to make a guest on the afternoon show. You know, it's a sudden hobby show. They had some amateur fighters on there before the college kids start. And I said it's a chance, you know, for, you know, me to get back to my old stopping ground and this time be the trainer and not the guy taking the lumps. Believe me, I treat them my share of lumps. But I gave out my share, too.
Me, too.
Street fights and boxing matches and the wrestling matches.
Everybody that, well, Philadelphians, we hit everybody that's not us, with the notable exception of a few players that we can respect. Michael Vick was never our cup of tea. You know, he was a flashy guy. You know, even though for years we loved Randall Cunningham, and basically Michael Vick was just a 2000 version of Randall Cunningham. You know, unbelievable arm, you know, unbelievable running ability, but you know, never a great leader and, you know, never the most accurate guy and never a guy that could, you know, take everything on shoulders. Then he comes to Philadelphia, and I think we all remember the night that the news broke out. We were on the air, and every 2 minutes you could hear a beep going on because I was getting text messages all throughout the show. And when you're trying to get me, I'm like, huh, what? Oh, by the way, let me talk about this fight. But the Eagles just signed Michael Vick. What the hell are they doing? And but then he came back and he proved it last year, you know. He showed that, you know, he could be a good, well-rounded quarterback. You know, he could throw the ball. He could read defenses. He wouldn't just look at one guy and then run. I mean, he still does that sometimes if he sees an opening, but he'll look to his second and third and guys now. But here's the thing. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, you can have the greatest guy in the world. If, you know, you can't get him out there, you know, what's he going to do? So, is he worth that much? I don't know. But, hey, here's the thing. If it draws attention and it, you know, gets excitement, I mean, you've been a sports fan for a long time, Rich. Optimism is a great thing. You know, when you're going into spring training for baseball
and your team has high aspirations, it's a great thing. You know, I remember I've gone to spring training every year for the Phillies since 2008. The year before that, they had made their first playoff appearance in 14 years. That was high optimism. And then this year, you know, it was unbelievable down there, you know, with the Lee signing and Halliday and all that, and people were excited. Then they got Hunter Pence, and people were excited. Exciting, there's a buzz, and there's a, you know, there's positive vibes. I talk to people, and Rich, I think one of the reasons you and I have a good rapport is we're both homers. I mean, I'm a Philadelphia guy through and through. I'm all fours, you know, with all my teams. I'm not much of a basketball fan, so, like, the Sixers aren't as much of a big deal to me, but I'll still prefer them over anybody else. I am a hockey guy. I'm you know, a baseball guy. I'm a football guy. And I always go for the home teams. Now, I got certain friends of mine, you know, one guy, you know, he lives in, you know, mid-Jersey. And he's one of those, like, you know, bitter, angry, I hate what everybody else likes just so I can be a dick kind of guys. And, you know, so he loved the Yankees just so he can piss people off. So, you know, go on there and, oh, Phillies, they blew that game. You guys are bums. Yankees got 27. No, he didn't say the Yankees. We got 27 World Series rings. I'm like, oh, yeah, you've been playing on the team that long? You have 27 rings? Can I see them? You know what I mean? I said, hey, listen, if I ever say we as in according to any Philadelphia sports team, I don't mean that I suit up on the team that I play, but I mean we as in I'm a member of the city of Philadelphia. I was born in Philadelphia. I grew up right outside of Philadelphia. I trained for boxing in Philadelphia. I was always announced from Philadelphia. So, yeah, we as in, yes, I am part of the city of Philadelphia. You know, this guy, I'm like, okay, yeah, you're great. I mean, you live in mid-Jersey. You're a diehard Yankees fan, but you're also a diehard Bulls fan. When did you become a basketball fan? Oh, the early 90s. Front runner. Yankees, front runner. He's like, whatever his hockey team was. I'm like, oh, front runner. Well, I'm not a front runner. And I'm like, yeah, you are. You know? But here's what I tell people that are, you know, I know a lot of people that are diehard Dallas Cowboys fans that live in Philadelphia. And I'm like, you're an idiot. And then, you know, the Cowboys got five. We got five Super Bowl rings. No, first of all, you have none. And second of all, okay, when the Phillies won the World Series back in 2008, first time I ever really got to experience something like that, I jumped in the car, and I didn't get to go down into the city because I was, you know, in Hollywoodsville, but I went to the local Modell's, and there were people outside the parking lot dancing. There were people in the store high-fiving each other and singing songs and having a great time. It felt great. Now, you're a Dallas Cowboys fan living in Philadelphia. Dallas wins the Super Bowl. You sit there and go, yay, my team won. You don't get to celebrate it with anybody else. You can be able to go and run at the Modell's and grab Dallas Cowboys gear right off the press? No, you'll have to order it. You don't get that same vibe, that same excitement. I'm a very passionate guy. You know, that's the one thing, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you know because you've been doing this for, you know, 3 or 4 years now. I'm a very emotional guy. I mean, I was at work, for the last 2 days, I was cursing everybody out. Bosses, sales reps, colleagues, customers, I didn't care. And people were like, well, why are you being a dick? Why are you being so unprofessional? I said, you know what? I said, I'm frustrated right now because I'm a little bit overwhelmed and you guys are screwing things up. I said, on the other side, if I was just sitting there and just doing it and, you know, just, oh, ho-hum, yeah, things are messed up right now, but who cares? Then you should worry and then you should, you know, give me a lot of shit. Because right now, the fact that I'm pissed off means I care. I think you'd be worse off if I didn't care and I was just saying, you know, go fuck yourself. Thank you.
marijuana muscle. See a little sticker on the side of the website.
Thanks. Plus, I'm you were your new electric guitar.
Marijuana muscle. It's a hemp protein made from the seeds. Hemp seeds. So they go with marijuana muscle, but it doesn't actually have THC or any marijuana in it. It's like protein and fiber all in one. Kind of tastes like cookie dough.
Love cookie dough.
And, it's just kind of funny. It's like one of those catchy products. They got a cool logo. So they sent me a couple bags of it. I'm on it. Running every day. Gotta get my jump rope on in a couple days. In the 110 degree out here base. And if I want to train at a local gym, I can go down to Floyd Senior's gym right down the street, the closest one to me. So should I go there mic'd up? You get the inside track on what the problem is with the sun.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Boston Red Sox are up 2-1 to the Yankees right now, by the way.
Phillies won today, so that hurt in baseball. Speaking of football, did you like my football video from last week?
Football video?
Oh, go on my YouTube page, you'll see it. I told my dog you had to take a hand off.
I did not see that.
Oh, you got to check it out. Dog's got skills. Take the hand off, he runs with a touchdown.
Do you have a weather radio?
Do you have a what?
A weather radio.
Do I have a weather radio? Probably not.
You should get one so that next time there's a tornado warning in your area, you can record.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Introduction music. There's a tornado warning in Harleysville, Mississippi.
I mean, there was a tornado warning in Harleysville, PA last week. And that's all I could think of. Well, I mean, if I was doing where I usually hang out at the house, I'd either be on the first floor. I said, there's no way I was letting anybody be up on the second floor sleeping. I said, you know, we were right next to a field. I said, that's like, you know, like a homing device.
Tornado.
You know, someone always wondered why tornadoes always hit like mobile homes and shit. And someone's like, well, do you think it's because a lot of them are made out of aluminum and metal? You know, maybe it attracts them because of the lightning and shit. I mean, it doesn't attract lightning. I don't think it attracts bottle clouds.
Well, you kind of get the sense that there's, like, energy in those things when they're swirling. Like, you know, there's, like, a static electricity sort of thing.
maybe, I don't know. But, I mean, Spotify develops, you know, when it develops. I mean, just because the set of electricity, you didn't mean that Spotify was going to develop right there. I mean, Tornado can, you know, go number one. I was going to take a picture on Sunday, a rare sight of a tornado in the middle of a hurricane. I was going to stand outside and get my picture taken, but then I was too pissed off that flood.
Well, your dog was smart. Not to go out there and shit.
What?
He must have saw the report on TV video about the dog that got taken with the tornado in Joplin. He came back with two broken legs.
And my dog did not want to go outside last week. Even when I was down in the basement, I started laying down now. I'm like, if he's got to go, he's going to have to go here.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. They only stayed in it. I didn't really hear much about it was New Hampshire. You know, there's actually a couple of reports.
Well, there he is, right in the way.
Some rivers. Irene. You know, there was actually...
Vicente Escobedo or not. He's 23-3, 14 knockouts, fighting Rocky Warren.
That's a good fight.
I've always been a big Rocky Wire fan. You know, that was come out of the 2001 Silver Medalist. I remember when he played, they did a series probably back in 2004. They had some fights on CBS on some weekends, and they had good ratings. And the one fight, Rocky was on fighting, and he was losing going into the final round. He staged this tremendous rally playing in his hometown. And the crowd's chanting for him, and, he ends up, I forget if he either knocks the guy out or he knocked him down like a couple times and won a decision. But as one of the announcers saying, it's like, it seems like a movie, you know, the guy fighting in his hometown, down on the cards, and everybody's chanting Rocky.
Yeah. That's a good name to have. And it's a regular name, it's not his fight name either. Anyway, I don't know. What else are we going to do? Sounds like we got the Heisman Trophy move. Stiff arm. It stood up, Tony.
Yeah.
What can you do? Well, we got next week already booked up. Two guests. I don't know, I think we're on the topics.
Yeah, I was, trying to pull up some other stuff, but I think I'm kind of, that's a lot, killing myself lately, but it's okay. There's a tornado.
Life goes on.
A little.
Just keep spinning.
Yeah, keep spinning. It's a funnel clap.
Hell, these tornadoes are almost better than hurricanes because they only take out like a pass. This thing went.
Yeah, that's right.
Like nine states.
I'm more cooler looking.
I'll tell you the thing that blew my mind was how it didn't even hit Florida. Pulled the fucking fast one on Florida. I'm coming right at you. I'm coming right at you. Whoops. I'm going north. That was vicious. It takes a lot of freaking spin to do that. Just don't do that. All those old geezers in Florida got lucky.
Yeah.
Beachfront property is still intact. Made me actually glad to be out in Vegas for once. Vegas is freaking hot, but not much else. We had a little bit of a storm from Tropical Storm Arlene that came through Mexico. Nothing much other than that. Anyway, Vicente, if you're out there listening, or if you find out later, we're going to have to reschedule you. So we're bailing. 40 minutes early. But hey, night is young. We have work to do. So, till next week, Tony. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. We're going to give a shout out to drinkcocaine.com and zionshop.com. Sponsor us. Check those sites out. Don't forget to check out my Whitey Bulger site, whiteysucks.info. Click on those Google ads I got on there. We can keep up the hosting there. It's like a free service there if you want to learn about his story. Anyway, that's all I got.
All right, well, next week, I guess,
Adios.
Hasta la vista, baby.